In verse 8, see those who go through the north country are given rest to my spirit in the north country. And the reason these horses are going out is because these horses go forth and they will bring the last gathering that comes together in the last battle, which will see the crowning of Jesus Christ, which is here in Zechariah chapter 6 verse 9 to 10, the crowning of Joshua. So in the last and eighth vision in chapter 6, we see the crowning of Joshua, and that will be Revelation 19 when the Lord Jesus Christ comes upon the earth. Now, cross-reference to Revelation 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." During the abomination and desolation, the destruction that comes, there will be also that last and final chance to turn to God that will be given in the horses going forth. So we see the appropriate conclusion of all the visions in chapter 6. Up to chapter 7. Chapter 7 begins a new phase. Now we divide from chapter 1 to 7. Actually it should be chapter 1 to 6. And then we leave chapter 7 into the second part. 7 right up to 14 begins all a different description of the Jewish dispensation. And immediately you notice it's like a recap, but in a different way. The emphasis is different. From chapter 7 to chapter 14, principles are emphasized. And we see here, the main principle during those times is fasting. In chapter 7, it describes the wrong kind of fasting and the wrong attitude to fasting. It says here in verse 5, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests," chapter 7 verse 5, "When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me?" And he's talking about how their attitudes were wrong in their fasting because they were disobedient to God. And he says in verse 9 and 10, "Execute true justice, show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless." Do you notice this sounds exactly like Isaiah when he talked about fasting with a true heart? The fast to set the captives free. Not the wrong fast. And then in chapter 8, again he talks about fasting. And says in verse 19, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast." In other words, they will receive the results of what they fast for fast. And in principle, they apply to the church and apply to the nation of Israel. The Bible tells us that in the last days, God shall pour out His Spirit. Preceding that, we have studied in the book of Joel, it's a call to fast. It's a call to seek God. As we draw near the last days, it's a call to temper our body, temper our appetites, temper our passions, so that we become spirit controlled. Then we will seek God, and we will fast in the last days. The day of Pentecost was preceded by 10 days of seeking God. It's not mentioned, but possibly they may have fasted in the 10 days that they waited in the upper room. And we realize here that in the last days of the church, there will be a call to fast. Jesus says the days will come when the bridegroom is taken from the bride, and then they will fast. And as we draw near the time of the coming of the bridegroom, there will be a call to fast as the book of Joel gives. And in the time of tribulation years, many also will be called to fast of the Jewish people. They will call to turn to God, to seek God with their heart. And then God will begin blessing them in chapter 8. and their fast will be turned into feasts. And these are the things that God said He will do among the Jewish nation. In chapter 8, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. Then verse 8, I will bring them back. A prophecy in chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, that is being fulfilled in our time. Because God will bring back and begin to call Jews to return to Israel. It will be the only place where they will be safe in the time of tribulation. It will be the only place. And so from the east to the west, God will begin to call them back. In verse 8, I will bring them back. Then the second part, verse 8, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Because it's in the tribulation week that the Jews will have the third temple to worship God. And God will be, in a sense, their God. They will restore back all the temple worship in the tribulation week. Chapter 9. Now, chapter 8, just if you want to put some New Testament scriptures, where the fasting turned to joy, you can put Matthew 6, verse 17 and 18. Jesus said, when you fast, don't be mournful, but He says, anoint yourself. Normally, they only anoint for feasting and for party. And that goes in line with what Jesus said, your fasting should be in private. And as far as outward are concerned, it should be a joy as you're expecting those things from God, like in chapter 8 of Zechariah, where He turns their fast into feasting. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, there is what I call the destruction that takes place all around, on different places. And yet there will be the blessing of God in Israel, with some prophecy in chapter 9, verse 9, about the first coming of Jesus mentioned. But it says in chapter 9, verse 14, then the Lord will be seen over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord will blow the trumpet and go with winds from the south. Now, there will be a revival among the Jews also. Because don't forget, the two witnesses will be around the first 3.5 years. And chapter 8 tells us there are two things that God will manifest, two forms of His power. In chapter 9, we see the whirlwind. In chapter 10, verse 1, we see the rain. So when you seek God in fasting and you seek God in prayer, you will begin to see the Spirit come like the wind and like the rain, the latter rain. Both takes fasting and prayer. Verse 1 of chapter 10, ask the Lord for rain in a time of latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field, for everyone. And it says, I will strengthen in verse 6 the house of Judah, I'll save the house of Joseph, I'll bring them back because I have mercy on them. And in chapter 11, there is a statement made about the Antichrist. And you will notice, it says in verse 17, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves a flock, a sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall be completely withered, and his right eye shall be totally blind. All these are pronouncements of judgment. And then when it's singular, it points to the false shepherd of Israel, the Antichrist. Do you know that the Antichrist will come as a shepherd to the nation of Israel as their Messiah? He will claim to be their Messiah. For the first 3.5 years, Israel will be deceived. Then when He puts the abomination and desolation, they will realize who He is. Too late. So He is a false shepherd. And at the same time, there is also the true shepherd. Let's look at chapter 12. Verse 9, it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. Armageddon. You can see how systematic is also taking place. There is the fasting, then there is a revival that will take place, and then the Antichrist pretending to be a shepherd, but the destruction will come on him, and then Megiddo taking place. Now, let's look over at the book of Revelations, chapter 16. And we see here in verse 14, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kingdom of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 16, they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. There we have Zechariah chapter 12, chapter 13. Confirm it. You continue to see here in verse 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one third shall be left in it. I will bring one third through fire. We look at Revelation 16, verse 19. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Three parts mentioned again. Chapter 14, verse 2. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. All these are towards the end of the 7 weeks. Seven years, the last week. The city shall be shaken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half of the city shall go into captivity, but a remnant of people shall not be cut off from the city. Look over at Revelation chapter 19, verse 19. And I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. That's the last battle that you read about in Revelation 14. See, Zechariah is one of those few minor prophets that saw far out into the eschatological last week of Daniel. And let's conclude Zechariah 14 when the battle is completed. Jesus has won and overcome the Antichrist. In chapter 14, verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. It shall be that whichever the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. And it says here in verse 20, in that day holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses, the pots in the Lord's house. All this symbolic shall be like the bowls before the altar. So it tells us here that it will go into the period of, at the end of chapter 14, the millennium, the 1,000-year rule. You can see how far Zechariah has seen and has brought us through his revelation of the last things. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O God, that you establish your word in our lives. And we know, O God, that the things in your word and the things of your spirit are for our edification. We pray, Father God, that which we have understood may revive us as we prepare, O God, for the last things that you're going to manifest. May we be among the overcomers, O God, fulfilling your purpose in history. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your blessings. Pour it forth upon your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise together. And remember that Our next meeting is in a fortnight's time on the 14th of September. We're taking 1 week's break before we see you again. And after this, for those of you who need ministry, we'll meet with you with all the other pastors on the outside of the auditorium, on the right side, on my right side here. Praise God.